I want to also enlarge the discussion a little bit about MSI and immunotherapy. We're saying now it's the standard of care, and I'm going to ask Randy to talk about some of the data and the updates of the data. But I'm just kind of curious, Gigi, anything you would want to ask him about MSI and immunotherapy?
Yeah, we've heard the abstracts from ASCO last year in terms of the MSI and the immunotherapy. My question is, we were just talking about the BRAF patients with the MSI. Were those patients looked at as a separate cohort, and do they respond as well?
Well, this is one where the uptake has been incredibly quick, considering the numbers of patients. You know, remember we were just talking about HER2, which is like 30-odd patients. The data was so powerful. So Young Lee's, you know, presentation from Hopkins was really a relatively small number of patients. And it was, I think it was like 30 or something in the 20s.
11.
Yeah, but the whole group. The whole group
ASCO was 30. But yeah. I mean, the first ASCO, the New England Journal paper, because Bob Mayer, I guess, is the editor of the GI. He said they never had a paper that prominent based on 11 patients.
And they also looked at it in non-colorectal, and it looks very similar.
Can you kind of go through where you see MSI and what we know right now about checkpoint inhibitors?
I think your point is really well taken. So never has standard of care changed so rapidly and so profoundly on such a few number of patients. And so when you think about it, that being said, it's being that we all have seen that when we've given checkpoint inhibitors to patients who have MSI, we are seeing that. So it's not just an outlier. So back to the data, you know, as we slice and dice colon cancer, there are different ways to get to colon cancer. So as I said, about 10% of patients have microsatellite instability. So what they have is abnormalities in their DNA mismatch repair proteins, either by epigenetically or whether by mutation. Some tumors have a lot of mutations, like melanoma. Some pediatric tumors actually have very few. Colon cancer is to the right of the curve in the high part, though it varies because some have a really high or hyper, and in fact, with the TCGA, they call those hypermutated, and they will have, you know, hundreds to thousands of mutations. And the idea is that these mutations then become targets that the immune system can recognize. Now, the problem is obviously these people are dying of metastatic colon cancer, so the immune system is not recognizing it enough. So the combination of checkpoint inhibitors has been something that people had thought about and looked at. And I have to give the Hopkins group, and we were actually supposed to be part of that, really a lot of credit in not just getting the checkpoint inhibitor, which was pembrolizumab, but also doing really wonderful correlative science with that and with the number of mutations and the tumor-associated antigens, really did a wonderful job. So even though the patients were only 11 patients, there's a huge amount of work that was done on that.
And are the PD-1 levels actually elevated in patients with MSI high?
I don't think it's actually quite as much that. You bring up another really good point, which is that biomarkers for one disease may not be the same biomarkers for another disease. We were talking actually in New York about the gastric cancer trials. And so they saw benefit in both patients who were MSI with anti-PD-1 antibodies, as well as patients who are MSS.
And you couldn't even really tell the difference that much. I was surprised. It's like a quarter of gastric is MSI high.
I still think that's percentage-wise, though. They do better. But they saw both, which was really important, because if only they had seen benefit in MSI, that's not telling something new. If you see it in MSS. In colon cancer, however, there are a few scattered reports, but basically they don't work as a single agent.